The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Welcome back to another episode and another edition of Today in Sports Betting. I'm your host, Devin Allington, at DALE007 on Twitter. This is a hoop-ball.com presentation. We're at Hoopball Gaming on Twitter as well. And today, I'm going to be joined by a really awesome guest. Got a really fun show breaking down Wednesday night action. Had a really successful Tuesday night action slate. Looking to keep the ball rolling on this Maction action. But before I get into all that, got to talk about a couple of things. First and foremost, Hoopball 360, Hoopball Premium just dropped Monday. Thank you for all of those supporting already. We've gotten a lot of influx in, so that's very encouraging. It's got really specified and individualized different tiers and packages, all moderately priced. You know, if you just want Aaron Brewski's 150 draft prospects, you can just go ahead and grab that. If you want the wager pass, which I gave out a two-unit winner last night in Buffalo, and my article, I think, went with a nice old sweep as well over at hoop-ball.com. But, you know, like I said, you can get this or that and get all of it, you know, under the Hoopball 360 moniker. And, yeah, go check it out. It's got some really great content. Like I said, these fantasy basketball gurus of Aaron Brewski and Dan Vespers have been doing it for quite some time. Aaron started at NBC over in Roto World. So check it out and give us feedback. Let us know if we can do anything to accommodate you. We'd love to improve it. Josh Millman has spent so much time on the draft guide, and with the shortened offseason, this is just going to be huge. And then Manscaped, can't thank them enough for being the show's sponsor, manscaped.com. Go over there, use promo code HOOPBALL20 to get free shipping as well as 20% off of your lawnmower 3.0, which is a nice new piece of technology. Waterproof, fully electronic, all the works. And then they also have beard balms, oils, underwear, storage containers, men's bags, all that stuff. All the apparel for us men. Manscaped.com, HOOPBALL20 is your promo code. All right, so like I said, we're going to talk some action. Got some other games on the college slate to speak upon, which is no surprise based off of what I talk about mostly. And then I got to get into this guest because he is an up-and-coming, awesome account, and he's just thriving and putting really awesome content out there. And I've used it in the middle of my research as I was explaining to him off camera. So really good content, does it a little differently than the traditional folks. So I'll let him spill the beans on that. But I got Nick Hub today at Pick Hub on Twitter. Nick, thanks again, boss. And how are things
awesome.
Going?
Awesome to be with you, Devin. I appreciate you having me on here. It's at the Pick Hub.
Correct you, but
just want to get that out there for everybody. And
yes,
I'm very excited to get this going here. Some Maction Wednesday night Maction here. We'll break it down.
And, you know, I briefly spoke about the difference of your content, you know, versus what we're about to do right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, you do, you know, like little 4-minute, 3-minute breakdowns of a specific game.
Yeah, it's you know, 2-3 minute breakdowns of each game. I try to put something out there that you know, doesn't take too much time out of people's days. You know, if they want to get a specific breakdown on a game, that they could scroll through my podcast and click on one, and you know, they only have 2-3 minutes to listen to my take. And you know, I thought that would get be more beneficial for people who are looking for snippets here and there.
And another thing that I really liked about your content was you provide coaches' quotes quite often. I think that's a good source of information, especially now where beat writers are kind of being limited with as far as their access to the teams and everything. So I do appreciate the quotations from college coaches within your breakdowns. I think that's a really good reference point.
Yeah, man, I really feel that you can take a lot away from quotes from coaches. Sometimes I'll do players, depending on who it is, but I feel that you can really nail down on a game based off of what people say. So sometimes I do like to put them in there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you mentioned to me off camera that you are in the Pennsylvania sector.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where you grew up? Is that kind of where you're from? Or
yeah, okay. Yeah, grew up in Pennsylvania. You know, moved cities, but stayed in Pennsylvania my whole life.
Awesome. All right, let's. You ready to break some games down?
Or yeah, let's go.
You know, plug something else for you here before we get going. Talk a little more about yourself or what?
No, I mean we're good to go. We can get into the action. You know, I'm excited. I have some notes here to go over some things. You know, I think we're going to be going over some other games this weekend later on, but we'll get into that whenever you want.
All right. Well, then we will kick it off with the first game. Like I said, last night was a pretty fun night, pretty successful. And then, first of all, we have Eastern Michigan taking on Ball State. And Eastern Michigan is getting 8 points. I locked it in at 9 last night. I was doing a little more deep scrub as I was on night duty with the newborn. And then I noticed that, you know, this is going to be a pretty evenly matched up game, in my opinion. It opened at 7.5. It went up to 9. It's back down to 8 for Eastern Michigan going on the road. Over under 58.5, it's gone all the way up to 61.5. I did not see that when I wrote my notes last night. It was at 59.5. So that is that is crazy. And I went ahead and took the over 59.5. So I'm glad. But nonetheless, Eastern Michigan and their defense held the potent Kent State offense to only one explosive drive in 11 possessions last week. So, you know, an explosive drive is whenever you let your opponents average 10 yards per play throughout a drive. So last week, and we saw Kent State hang 60 last night, this Eastern Michigan defense held that offense to one out of 11 possessions to be considered explosive. And, you know, Ball State has all sorts of stats and rankings to show that they are a force against the run. But the passing game is an area they struggle against. They are the 105th ranked graded PFF team in coverage. So I think the better defense actually is going to be on the Eastern Michigan side, even though they didn't really return a ton of experience and productivity from last year. Now, before I get way too ahead of myself, Nick, what are your general thoughts on this game? And have you looked at an angle for this one yet?
Yeah, I looked at it. I have some stats, and you're 100% right. I think the Eastern Michigan side is definitely the better defense. The one thing to look at in this one would be the passing game against the Eastern Michigan passing game against the Ball State pass defense, because I think that might be a way for Eastern Michigan to get out in front, or even if they're behind, they might be able to catch up by passing the ball. I favor Eastern Michigan in this ball game, but the big thing that stood out to me was last week's game against Kent State. only holding them to 27 points because they're putting up a lot of points.
Yeah. Preston Hutchison, you know, there was talks of praise about his game from his lone start last year where he put up, I think it was about 300 passing yards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's filling in for a career. I think he had, I'm talking about Mike Glass, that is, 7,500 passing yards for his career for this team. Okay. So that's who Hutchison is replacing. And he's got a tall task, but, you know, on this, you know, he had a 60% completion percentage last week. He needs to cut the interceptions out. He had two, but he also had two touchdowns. So,
yeah. And I'll tell you what, playing one game, it's hard to, handicap after one game, but, that's what we're here to do. So
yeah. Limited or no data. That's the fun part about it.
You got it.
And then, you know, Drew Plitt, the quarterback for Ball State, he can be really, really, really inconsistent. And, you know, they're cycling people through this offensive line. You know, if you recall, Danny Pinter went to the NFL last year, and they also have another NFL prospect or two on the line, but not a lot else around them. And then also one last note, and we can move on to the next game. On my end, I found a number that was interesting. And that's when Chris Creighton, the coach for Eastern Michigan, takes his team on the road as a dog. He's 21-10-1 against the spread. And the number booms over 70% whenever they are getting more than a touchdown. So he performs really well and gets his team ready to go. You know, and I think he's going to get them ready to get the offense a chance to keep it, like you said, close either which way if they have to score. So, like I said, I like the over 59.5, and I got a good number, obviously. Now it's at 61.5. And then I also got the Eastern Michigan +9, and we'll probably throw it into a, like, 6 or a 10-point super teaser to have a little fun.
There you go.
So – any last thoughts from you on this one, or you want to move on to Central Michigan, Northern?
Well, I mean, just a quick thought here. I mean, Ball State's offense looked horrible, and, you know, their run defense is suspect. So, you know, that's why I kind of favor Eastern Michigan in this one, because I believe they might be able to pass the ball and get the ball moving a little bit and slow down Ball State's offense. Or keep them slowed down, I should
sure,
say.
Sure. And that's a great point because I've noticed Ball State, you know, they do slow themselves down. Like, you know, they do it to themselves in an efficiency standpoint.
Yeah, and who knows this year, maybe the first home game for Ball State might help them out a little bit. Who knows?
Who knows
how that'll work.
You know, just a general thought, you know, and this is general. This isn't this specific matchup. I've noticed teams, you know, making their home, you know, first home game appearance, you know, they kind of underperform, and I don't know if it's to go along with the 2020 weirdness, but I was worried about having Buffalo at -9, -9.5 last night just because I realized it was their first home game. That worked out. So
I'm sure it's weird for the players because they're used to their fans cheering them on hard in their stadium, and I bet that's part of it, the mental side of it, that there's nobody cheering for them, or maybe a few people. I you'd have to factor that in, but it's tough. I mean, nobody's ever done this before, so.
Right. Yeah, these kids are all in a weird predicament, that's for sure.
Yeah, sure.
All right, well, I'm going to throw this next one to you. I'm going to intro the line, and then I'll be interested to hear what you say about it.
Sure.
But we talked about Central Michigan, the Chippewas. They're -7.5-point favorite on the road going to Northern Illinois. Over under 58, opened at 60, so it dropped a couple. And then the line opened at 6, so at a key number for Central Michigan going on the road.
Yeah, I looked at this. Central Michigan, I'll tell you what, the first thing that stuck out to me was Northern Illinois turned the ball over 5 times last game, and that was against Buffalo. They played – both of these teams played 2 good teams, Buffalo and Ohio. Central Michigan played Ohio and beat them. But those turnovers are big. If they can limit those turnovers, you know, it'd be a different game. But Central Michigan, they can stop the run. I mean, they looked impressive stopping the run, only giving up 3.1 yards per play. the one thing on their defense is they gave up a lot of passing yards, or yards per attempt. It mm-hmm. was 10.7, so which was more than the defense is allowing typically.
Right.
You know, another thing to look at too is Northern Illinois can pass the ball. And if Central Michigan is giving up those chunk plays, then that's definitely a kind of like Eastern Michigan. The last game we talked about, I feel like Northern Illinois can definitely get out in front against Central Michigan's pass defense.
Yeah, those are obviously very good points. Another just little side tangent about that last game against Buffalo for the Huskies is the fact that three of those five turnovers went for touchdowns.
Yeah,
that's big. But, I mean, that's obviously going to regress. But the biggest thing for me is just seeing the sudden change in success in this team in Central Michigan. And it's all because of Jim McElwain, which if, you know, you guys know your coaches somewhat, you know, he was an SEC coach. He went down to Florida for a little failed attempt, but you know, he took this Central Michigan team that was 1-11 to the MAC West champs in 1 year. And then they returned 70% of their offensive production from last year, including running back Kobe Lewis, who had 1,000 yards at least in 2019. Then they also returned their top three receiving threats. And I also like keeping an eye on Daniel Richardson. He, in this game, as well as for, you know, freshman of the year in the MAC, he's an exciting kid. He's got a cannon. He can throw on the run. He's a little bit dual threat. He has pretty good awareness, and he went against a tough team last week and looked poised. He led a 13-play, 75-yard drive. And then, you know, the youth of Northern Illinois is kind of what worries me. They're one of the youngest in all of college football, and they allow a lot of line yards. And couple that with Central Michigan and their ability to succeed in stuff rate. You know, they were the number one team last year. And, again, we're talking about last year, but, you know, you look for the similarities and things that you expect to carry over, such as, you know, 70% of your production and your coaching staff and the continuity. So Ross Bowers throws a lot of interceptions for Northern Illinois, and that's kind of where I'll leave it with that. Do you have any other sides, takes, or angles on this
one? Yeah, I like Northern Illinois in this game, and, okay. And I have two trends that I just want to – go over with you. And like I said on the last game, after one game, it's tough. But here's two trends favoring the Huskies, Northern Illinois. They're 6-0 ATS in their last six games following an ATS loss. And they're 4-0 ATS in their last four games following a straight-up loss. So that was last week against Buffalo. So I like those two trends, the recent trends.
All good things to take into consideration. It's always fun to agree on stuff, but it's also good to be on the different side, as you know, you're
sure, absolutely, your
guest, just because it helps gain or gather more perspective for yourself.
Yeah.
And so I'm actually on the Central Michigan side at -7.5, and then I really like the first half total to go over of 29. I got that at -110. Yeah, so I always get a little like scared or anxious whenever that happens, but you know,
it's a good thing. It provides more content, and everybody, and you know, not everybody sees it the same way. So
right, there was a there
could nobody's be right 100%. So
that want the you know, one side of it, and then the other, you know, that wants a different angle. So
yep,
100%. All right. Well, let's wrap this matchup up, and then we'll talk some games that you're excited for within the college football slate coming up. Unless you had anything else to say on that last game.
I don't have anything else on that one.
All right. So Toledo is going on the road, getting 3 points against Western Michigan, total 58.5. I'll be real brief with this on my end. Toledo had an average starting field position at the 39-yard line last week. That's obviously going to regress. But then I'm also looking at how they benefited from three Bowling Green State turnovers. They turned them all into points, I believe. Meanwhile, right. Western Michigan's defense was locked in last week by not allowing any passing play to go over 15 yards. And they also put the Akron offense in an average third down distance of 7.1 yards. Now, both of these teams played some probably the more two bottom feeders of the conference. So I think we're going to see a really good competitive game in this one. And I think the strengths of both teams are pretty similar. The coaching, Toledo does have that little more, you know, hyper speed offense. So throwing mine out there, I like Toledo +3. And then I also am looking to use them in a teaser. I talked about a couple other plays or a play earlier that I might throw into a teaser, but I was interested in what you had to say on this one.
Yeah, so the one thing that really sticks out, I mean, that they you're right. I mean, they both played bad teams last week. Their defenses both performed well, but it's hard to say whether that, you know, was due to a bad team or if they're if they have actually have a bad defense or a good defense. The biggest thing for me in this one, I think Toledo is going to have to get out and establish the run game because it doesn't look like, based off of last week, being able to pass the ball too much in this. Well, at least they didn't last week. So I think it's important for them to establish the run game, and that could be kind of difficult against defense giving up 4.1 yards per play, but that's not great, but that's not horrible either. You know, that would be my take. I would think Toledo definitely needs to get out in front and run the ball. Let me look at my notes here. Yeah, I really think, and let's continue the trend here, Devin.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm on the Western Michigan side, so we'll agree to disagree on all these games, I guess.
Yeah. It's fun. No, that's
it is. Fun. It creates a lot more content, and it's good for the show, and I hope everybody enjoys it. But Western Michigan, I mean, they have a high-powered offense. Right. I mean, what they're at 58 points a game. You know, if they get out in front and Toledo can't run the ball, that's going to cause some trouble for Toledo.
I noticed that these teams were very evenly graded out, like very closely.
Yep.
And the one thing that's – or two things actually that stuck out to me. You know, Toledo received higher PFF grades for tackling and coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the two things that separated them from Western Michigan. In Western Michigan, I think they were graded 89th in tackling last week. I think they missed like 9 or 11 tackles or something like that. So I'm looking for maybe those two things to be literally the small, minute details that separate, you know, if they get good, Toledo gets good and great coverage in spots that they absolutely need it to keep the game close. And I think that they could even, you know, win this game. It was only plus 115 on the money line when I looked. So I was hoping for a little more value on that side. and then I would have taken the Toledo money line. And by the way, it's down to +2 now. +110 on the money line. If I could have got +1.25, I would have definitely taken Toledo on the money line. I like their chances here, but Western Michigan is a scary team. You know, look at them at the end of MAC play and expect them to be towards the top for sure.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Sure.
All right. Well, you mentioned some games that you were excited for.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to talk about them because, you know, I haven't gotten that far yet. And I'd like to hear your general take. So what's the first one that you were – I think you said you liked the UAB game, correct?
Yeah, I do. I don't have all my notes put together yet, but I can talk about this one briefly. I do like UAB. I got that one at 13.5. And it opened up at 15. Now it's up to 14. But this one caught my eye. North Texas haven't played for about a month, since October 17th. They're putting up a lot of points, North Texas is, but they're also giving up a lot of points. I mean, their offense is 7.4 yards per play, but their defense is 7 yards per play. So the big thing in this one is UAB's defense coming in at 4.9 yards per play. I feel like they're going to stop North Texas and, you know, take care of them on that side of the ball. So, and the recent trends favor the Blazers in this one too. I'll just give you a couple. I have a bunch here I'm going to include in my pod, but I'll just give you a couple here for the show. If we have time, Devin.
Oh yeah, absolutely, bud.
Looks like the Blazers 6-1 ATS versus a team with a losing record. 6-1 ATS in their last 7 games following a bye week. And then we'll do one or two here from the Mean Green. Let's just throw this one out there. Mean Green, they're 0-4 ATS in their last 4 meetings versus the Blazers. And 1-10 ATS versus a team with a winning record. And 1-5 ATS in their last 6 games as an underdog. So a couple different things there, a couple different trends. I don't have everything put together on that game, but I do like UAB.
Yeah, I as well as Coastal Carolina and Liberty, UAB from week one was a team I was really interested in, and that they've kind of been my love obsession of college football all season. And I probably know more than the typical person does about UAB. And I really do like this team. I think they should be getting Tyler Johnston the third back soon, or if not already from his shoulder injury. But if not, they have Bryson Lucero at quarterback, who is a stellar, game manager. He does turn the ball over from time to time.
Yeah.
He's a young kid, and they also have Spencer Brown in the backfield and all that offensive line experience and collective starts together. The defense, like you said, you hit it on the head. This defense for UAB is solid. They are so fun to watch. They're good in their coverages. They play man coverage really well. Their linebackers are aggressive to the line of scrimmage. They have a high stuff rate. You know, it's just a really aggressive defense, and they're fun to watch. If you have the Stadium Network, I know it's a new thing and not a lot of people do, but if you have it and you want a random team to watch, check out UAB or look up some of their highlights on YouTube. They're fun. And I do like that 13.5. I saw that. It caught my eye. One bet that I smashed on this one is I went under 65. Like you said, North Texas has been off for quite some time. I think that this total was set so high because, you know, markets and bookmakers were seeing that, oh, man, there's a lot of points involved in the Mean Green games, but they don't really understand the style of play of UAB, which is that ground game with Spencer Brown, and then also how great their defense is for as small of a school as they are.
Yeah, and I'm going to jump in here real quick and say one more thing about this game is North Texas is used to playing defenses that are giving up 6.4 yards per play. So the UAB 4.9 yard per play is a little bit different. They won't be able to put up as much offense in this one.
No, yeah, you hit it right on the head. And the second game that you mentioned that caught your eye was the Louisville-Virginia game.
Yeah.
Louisville getting 3.5 right now. They're going on the road. So let's hear about that one.
Yeah, I liked this one last week, and then it got postponed to this week, so I'm staying on them. But, yeah, I mean, I'm looking at Virginia coming off that big win for North Carolina. It's probably would have been bigger if they played last week. But, you know, they could still be reading those news clippings, and their head could be blown up a little bit. Louisville's been playing decent the past couple games here. Their offense has been producing 450 yards per game at 7.9 yards per play. So
that's a high number.
That's a very high number. And if you're going against a defense, which Virginia over the past three games is giving up 487.7 yards per game and 7 yards per play, that's the biggest reason why I like Louisville in this game. I think Louisville can put up a lot of points on Virginia's defense, and I don't know if Virginia can keep up.
Yeah, Virginia's got a little inconsistency at quarterback with Armstrong. But, you know, I haven't dug too far into this game, and I was, you know, happy to get some insight from you. So I'm going to keep it short and simple on that and not speak where I'm not permitted. But
And this could be an overplay too. Okay. We're looking at two defenses that, you know, I believe Louisville is at 6 yards per play, and you know what I just said about Virginia. So I like the Louisville side, maybe the Louisville team total over, and possibly full game total over. Not sure yet.
Yeah, and just so we are aware, that team total for Louisville is 31.
Yep.
From what I'm seeing.
I could see that going over. Yeah.
I could see him scoring 35 for sure. This isn't a normal Bronco Mendenhall defensive unit this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it might be attributed to 2020, but they also lost a lot coming back from last year. And then, you know, this third game of yours, remind me of what it was, which one it was.
Yeah, it's Michigan State. I really game. It's Michigan State and Indiana. I really think Indiana is not as good as their record. I believe they're overranked. They're running the ball at 2.6 yards per play, and the offense as a whole is producing 4.7 yards per play. So, and that's against defenses giving up 5.6. So they can't even keep up with the defense, with what the defense is allowing. They have a couple wins, so that makes them ranked. But
I think the teams that they beat between Penn State and Michigan are kind of inflating that. But in between that, you have a win against Rutgers. And then also, here's something to consider. They're playing Ohio State next week.
Yep.
Think that they might, you know, look ahead.
Exactly.
And Michigan State, you know, say what you want about them, but they got blown out by Iowa 49-7 last week, but they also beat Michigan, rivalry game, sure, but then they lost to Rutgers. So I think that's kind of smudging the line a little bit. So
they could be one of those teams that gets up for big games and, you know, just –
Well, man, you're talking me into something a little crazy, just kind of based off college narrative and whatnot. I might sprinkle a little something on Michigan State's plus 220 money line. Just, you know, a little half unit. Have a little.
I did. Yeah, I've already done that. I got it at 8.5 Sunday, I believe. I really like these. I really like this Michigan State team in this ball game.
Yeah, and, you know, it's Indiana very well could have lost that Penn State game if, you know.
Yeah, they should have. Who knows? I mean.
Yeah, one other official saw it a different way with one of his eyes or something. You know, it just.
Yeah. There's a couple trends I have for this game if I have time to go over two of these. The Hoosiers are 1-8 ATS in their last nine games as a road favorite, and they're 0-4 ATS in their last four games versus a team with a losing record, with a losing home record, I should say.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty steep number there, that's for sure. Indiana, like you said, that I like the teams for me to support to be able to run the ball well, because that speaks volumes on their overall efficiencies. Mm-hmm. Makes me feel a little more comfortable. So the fact that they can't run it for at least 3 yards a carry makes me feel a little, weird. I think Michigan State's actually decent at stuff rate and, run defense. So, I could see them completely winning this game at home to get to 2-2. That wouldn't be too far out of reach, in my opinion.
I think,
like you said, Indiana kind of got lucky with who they played, where they got ranked. And, obviously getting that shoe-in win against Rutgers.
It's big with the recency bias here.
Right.
With Indiana beating Michigan last week and Iowa blowing out Michigan State, I think there's some value.
Right.
Big time.
Yeah. A good buy-low spot for sure.
Yep.
And, I've got one last game that I want to toss out and then just see if you have a general idea of. But I was looking at this Middle Tennessee State and Marshall game. Middle Tennessee State's getting 23.5 points. Marshall's at home, but Marshall, oh my goodness, they're so good defensively. They just specifically in the first half, they allow 5.2 points per game, points per first half. Marshall's the number one PFF tackling team, number two in sack rate, and number three in coverage. And they're also, the Thundering Herd, they're also top 10 in forced fumbles. I don't think, fumbles happen by accident. I think it's coached really. I mean, some do, but I think when you lead in your top 10 in forced fumbles, there's coaching being done. There's right things being taught. And they also haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher. Middle Tennessee State's quarterback, Asher O'Hara, is super loose with the ball. Lots of turnovers by way of fumble and interception. So I think the Herd are going to nab at least two or three takeaways. They're going to cruise to cover this 23.5 point spread. And I like their team total over in the first half of 20.5. So, and then for them to cover the first half at minus 13.5. So it's just a whole bunch of Marshall in this game.
Yeah. No, I had Marshall on my sheet in the beginning of the week. Didn't end up doing anything with them, but I definitely had them on the sheet here.
The Havoc ratings that they put out there, they're just a really disruptive team. And we were talking about North Texas earlier, and North Texas hung, I think, 50 points on this Middle Tennessee State team, if I was looking back correctly and seeing the right schools. This Marshall team, this is they're just looking really good in my opinion.
Are looking good, and
52.
But one thing that scares me in these types of games is a good team, a legit team that's favored heavily, playing against a team that's not good.
Right.
2-5 team, who knows how they're going to come out. That kind of scares me a little bit.
The Blue Raiders did just beat Rice last week. I think Rice was favored. So, I mean, like you said, they went against Western Kentucky a couple weeks back, and Western Kentucky was supposed to have one of the better defenses in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Based off returning production. They have a few NFL talents in there. They held Middle Tennessee State to 17 points and won 20-17. The Hilltoppers did. So I think Marshall's a better defense, obviously, than Western Kentucky. And that, I think, is a similar opponent. But obviously Marshall just being a little bit more upscale.
Marshall would definitely be my lean.
Yeah. It's a lot of points, but, the big spreads hit too.
Yeah, they definitely do.
All righty. Well, I think that is all I have as far as the games that I was looking forward to. I want to just kind of keep rolling with the MAC tonight. Hopefully that treats you well again.
Absolutely.
You know, we talked about those three games you were keeping your eye out on. And I tossed that one to you to get a nice little bit of insight. Is there you got any other you do some NFL breakdowns too. So is there an NFL game that you were interested in?
Yeah, there's one NFL game I like this week. I haven't gotten there yet, but I can tell you it's the Ravens -7. Mm-hmm. I just feel like this team is gonna pick it up here towards the end of the season and take it into the playoffs. Patriots aren't that good.
Right.
I don't care if they're at home on Sunday night. I mean, it's just a different team without Brady.
I mean,
and a lot of other guys.
Most recently, Edelman. You know, he's got that knee injury.
Yeah,
almost the whole defense. It seems like.
Yeah. It's I really like the Ravens in this one. I don't have too many stats in front of me or any yet, but that's the play I'm going to be playing in the NFL. That's it. That's all I have for the NFL this week.
And then, you know, last year, I believe these two teams played on Sunday Night Football, and Lamar Jackson made Bill Belichick and the Patriots look like, you know, fools. So it's an even lesser New England team. Baltimore's kind of just been skating by, you know. They had a great second half against the Colts last week, but, I mean, that start of the game was pretty rough.
Yep.
And like you said, I think they need to pick it up. They need to, you know, especially with Pittsburgh still undefeated, you know.
Right.
Wait and see what happens with Big Ben's health. But, you know, I think this is a good spot for Baltimore. I mean, the Patriots, they had to kick a – buzzer-beating field goal against the Jets. Like, come on.
That was a rough game to watch. How about it?
I watched it just because I had bets in it, but I wouldn't have chose to if I wasn't as a big of a degenerate as I am. So,
right.
But, well, Nick, hey, boss, it was a huge pleasure. I'm going to go ahead and start wrapping this up so we can get it out to the folks. You know, I know they're going to be excited to listen to this. I want to remind everyone where to find you, and that is at the Pick Hub on Twitter. Anything else that you can throw out there about you, plug or whatever, have at it.
About me, I mean, I've been doing handicapping for years now. Just started the Twitter in February of this year, so new to Twitter. I've been posting all of my picks, every single one of my picks on Twitter. The Pick Hub Pod, I started a couple weeks ago. I think this might be the fourth or fifth week. But I do analysis on each game that I like. And I hope you guys could tune into a couple and give me your feedback. And, you know, I appreciate all the support I've gotten so far.
Well, I know I've definitely enjoyed it. It's been a great breath of fresh air within gambling Twitter. Like I said, it's a little different take. And definitely, folks, you need to check Nick out. Follow him on Twitter. Listen to the Pick Hub and continue to get some more great analysis. And also, do not forget about the HoopBall 360 stuff. Go check it out. Let me know if you have any questions. Feel free to reach out at any time, at me, DM, whatever, what have you. And at HoopBall Gaming on Twitter, at DALE007 on Twitter is for me. And that about wraps the silver bow on this one, guys. We will be back tomorrow. And, well, I will be. Nick will be back soon. We'll have Nick on again very, very soon because I enjoyed it, bud.
I appreciate it. I enjoyed it as well.
I hope all of you succeed in some action tonight. I am sending you all of my good vibes and all of my good energies. And, Nick, once again, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it.
Awesome, Devin. Same here, man. I appreciate it as well.
All right. Well, everyone, take care and do enjoy the rest of your day.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.